Today's scripture is 1 John chapter 4, verse 14 to 18. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God and abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of over 10,000 branch churches in Korea and all over the world, local sanctuary members, those who are attending their service on the internet worldwide, GCN viewing audiences. This is the 43rd session of 1 John lectures. 1 John 4:14 says, "We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." It continues to explain about how certain it is that the Son of God came to this earth in human body. Jesus also had the same body as ours. He suffered all the hunger, thirst, tiredness, coldness, hotness, sorrows, and pain. He lived 33 years and eventually died on the cross. His disciples became the witness of Jesus Christ because they directly witnessed his life, death, and resurrection. In fact, what the Jews expected was not the Savior to save the mankind from sins. They expected a king who would restore their nation and let them enjoy honor in this world. The Jews at that time had been suffering from various foreign rulers for a long time. In that situation, they thought if the Messiah that was prophesied in the Old Testament came, he would become a strong king like David, drive away all the foreign influences, and give glory to the Jews. But after the event of the cross, the Holy Spirit taught the disciples about the true meaning of the Messiah. He let them understand the hidden way of the cross. They came to know that Jesus Christ is the Savior for all mankind and the King of all kings. They realized the fact that because sinless Jesus shed his blood and died, anybody who believes in this fact can be forgiven of his sin and receive salvation. After they realized this providence of the cross, the disciples spread it with all their lives. The next verse, verse 15, says, "Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God." At the time of the early church, there was a great revival as the disciples spread the gospel. Through Peter's preaching, there was explosive work of the Holy Spirit, and 3,000 and or 5,000 people at a time accepted Jesus Christ. In today's sense of understanding, it was such great work of the Holy Spirit that with just one sermon, a big church could be formed. The disciples lived with Jesus and were taught directly by him. But many believers who heard the gospel had not met Jesus in person. We too cannot see Jesus who came 2,000 years ago either. But because the Holy Spirit confirms that Jesus has become our Savior, we can certainly believe in the Lord. That is why we can ardently spread the gospel as if we had seen him and heard him in person. In the same way, when the believers spread the gospel with confidence, others will also open their hearts and accept the Lord, and they will also receive the Holy Spirit and gain salvation. This is such great wisdom of God. When Jesus Christ overcame death and resurrected, the enemy devil and Satan were so angry, for they had dug their own grave. They thought they would win only if they just killed sinless Jesus, but rather it was the way of their destruction. Why was it their own destruction? Just answer to yourself. Why was it their own destruction? The wages of sin is death. But because they killed, you know, you can be put to death only when there is sin. But because they killed sinless Jesus, they violated the law of spiritual realm. So because Jesus was sinless, he overcame death and resurrected. So the devil came to realize that fact. So it was their own way, the way of their own destruction. Because they could not hold innocent Jesus under death, they just had to watch Jesus resurrect. Also, because Jesus paid the price of sins of the sinners by dying in innocence, they had to give away the souls who were under their authority as children of God. If they hadn't killed Jesus, this thing couldn't have happened. If they hadn't killed Jesus, because they killed sinless Jesus, that they now had to give the people as children of God. 1 Corinthians 2:8 says, "The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood." So this is the amazing wisdom of God. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If the enemy devil understood this fact, they wouldn't have crucified Jesus. And if they hadn't killed Jesus, this way of cross couldn't have been established. If they had known what would have happened, they would have never killed Jesus. But the enemy devil and Satan did not give up. They thought they had another way of winning against God. Namely, they thought they could stop the people from believing spiritual secrets, such as that God's Son came in flesh, or He rose from the dead. Because they crucified sinless Jesus, it is their destruction. And then they came up with another way to disturb the people from believing this fact. You've seen so many evidence, so much evidence to believe. And how come you can't believe? You saw the almighty power of God so much that Jesus Christ is the Savior. In this church, you've seen so many signs and wonders. In other churches, they just talk about what is in the Bible only. But we don't only talk, but we show all the signs and wonders to you, even today, to confirm the Bible. And even though I'm making you believe this way, many of you still doubt. And those who are committing sins, it means they commit sins because they don't believe, because they doubt. Why? If they really believe, they can never commit sins. The Bible clearly tells us so. They can never commit sins. It is true. If you really believe, you can never commit sins. Because you know you are falling into hell, and how can you commit sins? You know hell is fearful. You know the lake of fire, and there will be judgment according to your deeds. And knowing that you are falling into hell, how can you commit sins? So you can never commit sins if you really believe. The seed of God is in you, and these people can't commit sins. But many people commit sins. Of course, not now. Most of you don't commit sins, but you used to commit sins. Was it because there was no Word of God? You were always taught with the Word of God. You always saw the signs and wonders. You always saw the signs and wonders. You heard. And then you heard so much that you were judging me, saying, oh, I'm bragging. Many of you said, oh, I'm bragging. Senior pastor is bragging himself. Even though I showed you so many signs and wonders, you didn't have faith and you committed sins. And you considered me bragging. So the enemy devil hindered you from believing by giving you these thoughts, doubts. They thought they could stop the people from believing spiritual secrets. So those who are controlled by Satan, they are played by Satan. I think you will feel, how can children of God be played by the enemy devil? How can they just listen to the enemy devil? You can never do that. If you are really children of God, if you are really going to heaven, you can never do that. Just a momentary happiness, momentary pleasure, or physical pleasure, is that really happiness? You will feel afflicted and you will suffer so much in heart. You will feel that you are falling into hell. Actually, you are going to hell. And just for momentary pleasure, gratification, how can you do something that will lead you to hell? If you really have conscience and faith, you can never do that. But many people did. The thoughts of the man of flesh are controlled by Satan. You always hear that. That is why you hear, cast off flesh, cast off fleshly thoughts, come into spirit. Then Satan cannot control your thoughts once you come into spirit. If they infused doubts into man through fleshly thoughts and hindered them from having faith, Satan thought they could obstruct the providence of salvation. But knowing everything, God knew the thoughts of Satan and he had his own countermeasure. This countermeasure is the Holy Spirit, as has just been explained. If we open our hearts and accept the Holy Spirit, we can believe even the things that man cannot actually believe. It's just that you don't try to believe. But if you really want to believe, how can you not believe? Because you love the world. You don't want to cast away worldly things. So those who believe right away, they just cut off all the worldly things immediately and they try to go to heaven, gain eternal life. But you, because you love the worldly things, worldly entertainment, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, boastful pride of this life, and so you commit adultery, you don't want to get rid of the adulterous mind or lust. And through that faith and works of the Holy Spirit, we confess that Jesus is our Savior. We can also deny ourselves every day. And you don't want to deny yourself. We can also deny ourselves every day. Even the Apostle Paul said, I die daily. And you have to die daily. Because you don't want to die daily. Oh, because I don't get the measure of faith. In this church of eternal life, you know, you want to leave this church of eternal life? If you die daily, again and again and again, such a thing will not happen. And eventually, if you keep on dying and dying and dying, if you have nothing to die any longer, then you will be on the rock of faith. And if you become blameless and cleanse, if you cleanse yourself again and again and again, you will go into spirit. But then you don't want to die. You insist on your ego, which is nothing. You insist on fame, which is nothing. Once greed is conceived, it gives birth to death. And yet, you still, even by telling a lie, creating falsehood, you try to earn money. Even by violating the word of God. I'm always telling you not to do any money exchanges among the brothers in faith, and you try to do that all the time. And even if you earn money by doing that, it is tragedy. If you earn money, you'll never repent. You won't even realize you did wrong, even though you violated the word of God. So it is not a blessing even if you earned money. You can never earn money by such measures because you are standing against the word of God directly. You are directly disobeying the word of God and you earned money. And what is that money going to do? What good is that money do to you? Even though you have to live like a beggar Lazarus, it is better to obey the word of God so that you will not be judged and not go to hell. We can also deny ourselves every day and forsake the world, even to the extent to grow up to have perfect faith with which we can give ourselves. So verse 15 says about such children, God abides in him and he in God. God in him, God abides in him, and he in God. God abides in you and you in God. But what we have to remember is that we do not necessarily abide in God just because we confess our faith with lips. And those who believe only in knowledge, they just confess with lips. They just dwell in words. And mostly it's the case with those who are born into Christian families. They say, oh, I was brought up in a Christian family. And my parents are Christians, and I was a Christian since birth. I sang in the choir. I was a Sunday school teacher. And they brag about themselves, but their deeds. They smoke and drink. And they say they are born into Christian family. What kind of falsehood? What kind of deception is this? They disgrace God. It's like they're spitting on the face of God and they are crucifying the Lord all over again. And yet they boast of themselves, saying they are born into Christian family. And they're so arrogant. And they can never be saved that way. So what we have to remember is that we do not necessarily abide in God just because we confess our faith with lips. It is explained in the next verse, verse 16. It says, we have to come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. We have believed. We have come to know and believe the love which has God for us. How do we know God loves us? How do we know that? How? But it's true. He gave his beloved such obedient. Suppose you have one son or one single, only daughter or only son who is so lovely. And he gave such lovely son to redeem us from sins. And God gave this son as propitiation to be a peace offering. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. You always heard it. You know it. And without knowing, how can you know that Jesus Christ is our Savior? How can you know the Father God is love and He's our Father? You can't say it unless you know. So we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is? God is? God is what? God is love. And why is God love? You know that. You have come to know and believed. He has given His one and only Son for us sinners to demolish our sins. There was a wall of sin and we couldn't be saved. We couldn't go to heaven. But to demolish this wall, He gave His one and only Son. That is why He is love. We have come to know that He is love. And as you have known the love of God, how can you so often betray God? You made a vow before God and you just break it? Even though you can gain all the fame and wealth of the world, it is only momentary. It is dead. It is something that doesn't last. It is dead. But even if we live like a Lazarus, beggar Lazarus, later we will gain eternal life in heaven. We'll enjoy eternal happiness. And even though I'm teaching you this way, just like the rich man, even though he enjoyed his life every day, having parties every day, his end is hell. And he couldn't even have a drop of water to cool down his tongue. And after the great judgment, he will fall into hell. And you know that. You know these things. And yet you commit those ways of death. And how pitiful. And when I hear such shocking news, I really suffer. I taught them so much. And how can they not believe? If they really believed, they wouldn't have done something that will lead them to hell. I pleaded with you. I proclaimed the love of God. I preached about the love of the Lord. And how can they just trample on all those teachings just for momentary? Even if they can enjoy 10, 20, 30 years, even if they live happy life 10, 20, 30 years, they can't in the first place. But even if, and the end will be only fire in hell. But if you live by the word of God, that is true happiness. And you can be protected by the Almighty God. And you will be protected by the angel that is sent by God. But if you are receiving the work of Satan, you will be played by Satan and eventually you will fall into the fire in hell. And even in this world, you will suffer from disasters and trials and hardships. And we know very well why God is love. For 16 says, we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. For us to believe in the Lord is to know and believe the love of God who gave us the life of His only begotten Son. For us to believe in the Lord, it's not just to say with lips. It is to know and believe the love of God who gave us the life of His only begotten Son. Without knowing, we can't believe. We can believe only when we know. So we know to know and believe the love of God. So those who say, I believe, even when you pray, of course you say you believe. But, so you know the love of God. You know the love of our Lord, why He was crucified. You knew and believed. And how can you betray God? And how can you betray the Lord? Namely, how can you commit sins? And eventually, and furthermore, how can you commit sins leading to death? In other words, how can you commit the works of the flesh? You can never do that. The Bible says you can never do that if you really believe. If you know the love of God. So if you say, I know and I believe, and if you do those things, it means, the Bible says, they are liars. You say, I believe, I know, and you commit sins. It means, whatever you're saying, I believe and I love God, it is a lie. And I think it's true. Unless it is a lie, you can never commit sins, knowing that they will go to hell. And you don't like me for saying these things. I'm just trying to save even just one more soul. I'm leading. I'm trying to lead them to hell, all of you. I don't have to say these things if you are all following the Word of God very well. And just because I'm saying this, you don't like me for that. Not all of you, but some. You don't like me. So even if I prophesy, you want my prophecies to be wrong. You want my words to be wrong. Does that mean you'll be saved? Does that mean your sins will be forgiven? It is in the Bible. Even if I die, will the Bible go away? Will it disappear? Or it'll become false? Regardless of what I say, the Bible is true and it'll be done according to how it is written. Because it is the word of the Almighty God. And God exists even before, since before the eternity, throughout eternity. And some Europeans, they say God is dead or God is not there. God exists since before the eternity, throughout eternity. And God is spirit, and spirit can never be extinguished or disappear. This does not mean just knowing this as a fact. To believe in the Lord is not just knowing this as a fact. We have to put the love of God into us. So I always talk, when I talk about love, I always say, as your faith grows up, you have to know the depth of the love of God. Maybe you can think, oh, I love you, God. It's not just that level, that depth, but you really have to go into the depth of really, really loving God. So if you say, hey, God, I love you, you'll immediately, your tears will immediately begin to well up. And if you really feel the love of God and the love of the Lord, you'll immediately begin to shed your tears. Because you miss Him so much. If you really miss somebody you love so much, and you, tears will come up because you miss them so much. Some of the church members, they said, Senior Pastor, I miss you so much, and my heart is aching. I remember, my heart is aching. And that is also, that was also flesh. That had to be in spirit, but it was flesh. And they stayed in flesh for a long time, and they couldn't come into spirit quickly. But if they really, if their hearts really ached, they would have obeyed the word and gone into spirit. But they didn't. So we have to put the love of God into us too. We can say God abides in us and we in Him only when we abide in His love. So if we can say God abides in us and we in Him only when we abide in His love, which means only when we practice love. Dear brothers and sisters, to understand the love of God is to understand the origin of God. Once we know His love, we cannot help but love others too. Suppose you see a certain man seeking his own benefit to such a degree, he even does things that are illegal. But those who know the love of God will not feel uncomfortable or hate that man. They cannot condemn him, thinking, I was also forgiven through the cross of the Lord. I was a sinner, but I have become a precious child of God through God's mercy. They remember the fact that God loves and cherishes that soul just as He loves them. They look at him with the eyes of the Father, so they consider his good points much bigger than his shortcomings. And even if he has shortcomings, they just wait for him to change. They would just want to help him do better. When we have the heart of God this way, we can receive blessings in every matter. We will then receive spiritual authority, and darkness will go away. So we can be blessed whether we are coming in or going out, and we will be the head and not the tail. Dear brothers and sisters, similar expressions are repeated in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 16. Let me summarize it once here, so you can remember them easily. God is love itself. His love is so great that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross to save us sinners. Also, we heard Jesus came to this world to become our Savior, and we confess Him as our Savior. Also, God sent the Holy Spirit so we could believe Jesus Christ as our Savior. The Holy Spirit also helps us live by the Word of God so that we are able to abide in God. To live by the Word of God is, after all, to live to love each other just as God loved us. Because we confess the Lord and have received the Holy Spirit, we can abide in God's love. Also, we will cultivate the love of God in us to the extent that we know and realize the love of God, practice the truth, and love our brothers. This is the contents on 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 16, which we covered in several previous sessions. Dear brothers and sisters, I believe these lectures on 1 John are not so difficult for you when you listen to them. You may even think that you already learned these things through other sermons like the series Message of the Cross. You already heard so many times and are aware of the providence of God who is cultivating human beings. You've heard about the love of God giving up His only begotten Son and of the fact that true faith is to keep the commandments. Even though you confess, I believe, 100 times without actual deeds, it is a lie. Even though you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior without actual deeds, it is also a lie. So, some of you made it a habit to tell a lie. And even though you try not to tell a lie, you habitually tell a lie. And even though you don't try, you try not to, you just lie. And how can you stop that? How can you stop lying? Cultivate a sincere heart, as in Hebrews. cultivate a sincere heart, and that sincere heart, with that sincere heart, will lead you to have perfect faith. Not just saying, I believe, is not perfect faith, but your confession will be true confession when you have cultivated sincere heart. And also when you have sincere heart, your love will become perfect. Your faith will become perfect. Your goodness will become perfect. So goodness, you know, there are different levels and different types of goodness, different depths. So are the faith and love and everything. So you say you love God. And according to which level of faith, it is all different. When can you say that? In which level of faith? Fourth level?
Yes.
So only after going into the fourth level of faith, your confession saying, God, I love you, will be true. You say in the first and second level, you say, God, I love you. Is that really love? That's not really love. It's lie. And you don't even practice the word of God, saying, I love you, God. So, at least you have to be on the third end, then you have to go into fourth level to be able to say, I love you, God. So according to those confessions of those who are in those higher levels, they are true confessions. So after all the prophecies, after the prophecies, I will explain about the blessing chapter by pleasing God, you know, with which you can receive blessings. If God is pleased, you might think He will bless you so much. So to please God, what do you have to do? What do you have to do to please God? If you go into the fifth level of faith, you always please God. This fifth level of faith is the faith to please God. So all the time, you'll please God. It is a way, a level beyond, just beyond loving God. So you please God. Suppose your children say they love you, parents. Is that really true confession? You know, the parents like to hear if their parents say, I love you. But if you know the truth, you know the depth, how true it is. And as the depth of love deepens, and these children, if they really love their parents, they will try to please their parents. So it is beyond the level of just loving them. So their love is mature, and they try to please their parents. So likewise, so is the goodness, so is love, so is confession of faith. According to the level of your faith, your confession will be true. So without being on the rock of faith, even though you say, I love you, they will commit sins and they will do untruthful things and they will seek lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and boastful pride of life. Even though they say they love God, they can't do the things that will please God. So you heard many times that the true faith is to keep the commandments. But I hope you will not just hear and store it as knowledge, but your spiritual depth will increase as you listen to these messages on 1 John. Just when you hear one sentence, God is love, each one of you will have different emotions. According to the measure of faith and to the extent to which you realized and experienced the love of God, each of you will understand the message in different depths. Through the lectures on 1 John, I hope you will more deeply realize the love of the Father, and that love will abide in you too. In doing so, I pray in the name of the Lord that you will quickly become God's children who resemble Him completely. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, let this message become life and faith. And let our confession of love be true. Let our confession of faith be true. For our confessions to be true, what we have to do? For our confession of love to be true, what we have to do? Let us understand. If we really love God and believe in God, we will never be able to violate the commandment of God. We will never be able to commit sins. This is true faith, and this is true confession of love. And if we do not have this kind of love, how barren our lives will be. And and let us love God with sincere heart. Lord, thank you. And lay your hands on all sick parts and infirmities, all be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit, all germs and viruses go away, diseases, infirmities go away, enemy devil go away, be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit, be cleansed. Father, all internal organs be healthy. Heart, lung, kidney, intestines, be healthy. Atopic dermatitis, go away. Light, come. Father, touch them, heal them. Father, all diseases and germs, go away. Father, heal them and touch them. All cancers, third stage, last stage, metastasized cancers, all germs, viruses, go away. Be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Be cleansed. Light, come. Father, thank you. Let our confession of faith and confession of love be true. There are prayer requests from other countries. Pastor Seung-Gil Yoo of Japan will have handkerchief crusade in Idalami Church on June 23rd. Be with them. Be with them. Let many people be healed. Lee Ting Ting, let her have a safe delivery. And let her have plenty of breastfeeding milk. Ban Hui Chu, let the lawsuit about the water leak in the house be settled. Father, let them prepare for the leadership conference, and let them also review all the things they learned in the previous conferences. Let many people go onto the rock of faith and into the Spirit through this conference. Lord, thank you. And let this General Assembly go well too. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.